if you would turn with me to the book of Judges, on chapter 16, I'll just read a few verses, just to get the context of the word that I wanted to really talk about this morning. And it's from verse 4 to verse 20, and it reads like this. After this he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lord of the Philistines came up to her and said, "Seduce him, find out wherein his great strength lies, and we will overpower him and bind him, humble him, and we will each give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So Delilah said to Samson, "Please tell me, where's your great strength? How and where does it lie?" Samson said to her, "If you bind me with 7 fresh drawstrings that have not been dried, then I shall be weak as any other man." Then the lords of the Philistines brought them the drawstrings, and she bound him with them. She had men lying in wait and in their chamber. So she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." But he snapped them, the bowstring, and his strength was not known. And Delilah said to Samson, "Behold, you've mocked me, told me lies. Please tell me how you might be bound." And he said to her, "Well, bind me with new ropes. I'll be as weak as any other man." Delilah took the ropes and bound him. And she said, "The Philistines be upon you." He snapped them. Then Delilah said to Samson, "Until now you've mocked me and told me lies. Tell me how you might be bound." He said to her, "If you weave 7 locks of my head with the web and fasten it tight with a pin, then I shall become weak, be like any other man." While he slept, Delilah did this. And when she said, "The Philistines are upon you," he awoke from his sleep, pulled the pin out, and she said unto him, "How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You've mocked me these 3 times. You've not told me where your great strength lies." And she pressed him with hard words day after day and urged him. His soul was vexed to death, and he told her all his heart and said to her, "A razor has never come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. My head is shaven, my strength will be gone. I'll be like as weak as any other man." Delilah saw that he had told her with all his heart, and she called a man and cut off 7 locks of his head. She said, "The Philistines came up, brought her the money. She made him sleep, and she called a man, shaved his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. She said, 'The Philistines are upon you, Samson.' He awoke from his sleep and said, 'I will go out as at other times and shake myself free.' But he did not know that the Lord had left him, and the Philistines gouged out his eyes, brought him down to Gaza, bound him with bronze shackles, and he ground at the mill in the prison. But the hair of his head began to grow again after he had been shaved." Well, that was quite a lengthy reading, but I had to read that to get the context of really want to see. And it's basically this: playing on the precipice, or to use a more modern expression as well, how near can you go? How near can you get to the edge before you fall off? Thinking about this in a spiritual context, looking at this in our every situation, Samson is a complex figure when you read about him. Moved upon by the Spirit of God as a deliverer for his people. Moved within with his own selfish, sinful behaviour. That's the kind of man he was. Yet he was called of God. This to me then speaks as a wake-up call to the church, today. It really is, because you cannot play about with the things of God. And that's what the church seems to be doing. And as individuals, we never ever or cannot play about with the principles of God. And it's a sad reflection, but I feel that it's a word that I felt needed really to be said and considered. As I've said, you cannot play about with the principles of spiritual values and requirements and expect to get away with it. You can't. If you're anywhere spiritual or name the name of God, or even have any semblance of church life, you're without excuse. And that's why the church today stands without excuse. And Samson is no exception. Chapter 13 then, just to give a background. He was set apart by God before he was even born. What a privileged position to be in. Set apart by God. There was a divine visitation. The Lord himself, the angel of the Lord, it says in verse 18. Manoah, Samson's dad. What's your name, he said. His wife knew it was an angel. But he asked his name. What did the angel say? The angel said something wonderful. That's his name. Why ask me? My name means wonderful. This is the second person of the Son of God. His name shall be called, as I said, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a visitation it was. God himself. And you see, before he was born, the requirement was this, or just in passing. It's an interesting thing. It's only here in the Word of God that this word is used. It is not used or found anywhere else. Wonderful. It speaks of the Lord himself. It is not found anywhere else in the Word of God. That's what indicates this is a special visitation. You see how gracious God is. He visits us, his people. He gives us everything we'll ever need. It's what we do with what he gives us. It's what the requirements are that we need to be for him. And it is a wonderful situation, even more so now in his Son, in the person of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. There's no greater thing than salvation, saved from sin, set free. What a marvellous situation. And you see, it says in verse 24, the child grew, but he was a Nazarite. That means no razor had to cut his hair, or he had to keep away from strong drink. These were the requirements. He was set apart, you see, for God's service. He was set apart for God, for a purpose. And it says simply this, as he grew, the Lord blessed him. Listen, when we grow in God, the Lord will bless us because we're doing that which is required. And you see, he grew, and then he became, as we see, a man. Simply this, and what a sad reflection it is today in society, but in every generation. Faithful parents, wayward son. Wayward son. And that was Samson. Secondly then, he was mightily used, we know, when the Spirit of God moved him. He played havoc and destruction to God's enemies. Israel's enemies, the Philistines, killed them by the thousands simply because God's Spirit moved him. What a privileged vision. Yet, look at chapter 16, which we read. This is really what I want us to consider. For all of this, he could not control his carnal nature. And that's something we've all got to consider. We've always got to put to death, God's word says, the old. It is of no value. It has no consequences. It'll only drag us back where we ought not to be. God saved us out of the world. That's where we ought. Not dragged back by our own selfish situation. So you see, it is a real wake-up call again to consider just where we are. We mightn't go as far as Samson did in depravity or defiance of God, but listen, anything, a backward step is always away from God. No matter how far away it is, it's still the wrong direction. Just keep right, and that's what I want to talk about. Keep the Word of God. Just keep, I said to the children, the guide is the Word of God. It always is. If Samson was true to his calling and kept true to what was required, he would have done great things, I believe that. Mighty for God. Who knows if he was a deliverer? Nobody does. But you see, here's the whole thing. He couldn't control his carnal nature. Previous then, verse 16, he looked at verse 1. It says he went down to Gaza and he went into a prostitute. You see, this was the carnality, this was something in the man that he couldn't control. He just had to get over this. But you see, he went here. Now, he went in, it says. He didn't need to go in. God's word says he went in. Right? Now, you've got to remember, there's a willfulness in this. That's where it begins. You deal with it. It's the will that has to be dealt with. So that's where he went. But listen, when the laid in wait for him, and they were going to catch him and kill him, he escaped. He took the gates or the bar off the gate. He was so strong. Carried it up above Gaza at the Hebron where the hill was and stood with it. In defiance, you can't touch me. Hey, he got away with it. Look, read on in chapter 16. He didn't only go in, but he did. It says now he loved the woman. Where? Well, I'll tell you where. It says in the Valley of Sorek. Why the Valley of Sorek? What was he doing in the Valley of Sorek? You see, that valley was the borderline. Yes, you see, to the edge, to the precipice. The borderline between Dan in Israel and Philistine, where the Philistines were. It was the borderline, see. And that's where he went. He went to the edge. This is what I'm really trying to see. You've got to be careful. Just where you go. Keep to the word of God. You can't go wrong. I'll press that time and time again with this word. You cannot go wrong if you're in the Word of God. It's where to be. Where to be. Sad. He was on the border, you see. It was one step and it was the wrong direction. Stay away from the edge. Keep clear, as I've said. It's only one step away from the other side. Just one step away. That near. Just be careful. Then be vigilant. Spiritually stand out. And stand up for the testimony and the truth. He should have been standing out for the testimony and the truth in doing his job in dealing with the enemy. Not fraternizing in a situation where he ought not to have been. You see, he couldn't control himself. There was no excuse. These are difficult things. We're all of the same. We all are tempted in many ways and every way. But we've got to learn to discipline, control ourselves as God leads us. And we'll see as we go on what it led to. So the sure way of straying or staying from the edge is camp yourself. I've used that word, camp. Settle yourself in the Word of God. And allowing the Holy Spirit to direct your way. So when the Spirit of God moved on Samson, that was the direction. That was his call. That was the requirement. He moved mightily for God because the Spirit moved him. You see, we'll never move unless the Spirit moves us. Unless not willing to let God move us and use us, we'll never. Keep away from it. Stay in the Word of God. Just camp yourself in it. That's where you need to be. Build yourself up with spiritual things, spiritual principles. The more you know of God, the less you need of the world. The closer you are to the Lord, the further away you are from the world. Remember that as a principle to apply in your experience. And that's what we need to do. Now I just want to read some verses from Romans 8, just to bring into context and words that we can understand from God's word. Romans 8, verse 5 to 8. And it reads like this. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And they are the ones we want to be. Those who are in the flesh, we don't want to be there, cannot please God. We can only please God while we're in the Spirit. And then following that through from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 and 23 reads like this. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And that's the requirement. Put on that which we need, put off that which has no value at all. And then again in chapter 16, seduction in stages. You see where it leads to. Verse 5. The lords of the Philistines, we've had enough of this. He's weak, he's in a position, we can deal with it. Notice, don't put yourself in a position that the world can harm you or the word of God. This is why you've got to keep yourself out of the way. So what they said was, entice him by stages, you see. Can we remember something in God's word? Can we go back to the beginning? What was it that was said to Eve? What did Satan put in Eve's ear? Has God said? Of course God said. Doubt, you see. That's where the enemy comes in. He cannot come in any other way except through the mind, unless we allow to do it. You see, God has given us something very precious. It's something sometimes we don't think about, but it's important. Because you see, and it's this hard thing, but it's that which is the discipline that helps us, is this. From the thought to the word, or the action, there's a pause. Why that? That's where you deal with it. He puts it in. That's where you deal with it. Your mind, you see. That's where he places it. Deal with it. Satan hasn't changed. He'll still do it. He'll come whatever way he will. Be in the Word of God and filled with the Holy Spirit and allow your mind to be renewed and be changed in spiritual values. He'll have difficulty. He really will. Why give in to the enemy? Samson did. Give him difficulty, you know, make it hard, make it impossible, really, for him to do it. But he will. So the key to this is guard your mind. Set a guard on your mind. Why did I say seduction and stages? Look at what we're there. Bind me with wet bowstrings. Any normal man had no chance. Not him. Snap it. Again, you see. Well, he had some new rules. See, you can't play about with the things of God in deadly situations. He hadn't realised it. We'll see that. Don't play around with the things of God whatever you do, don't do it. Consequences are severe, or can be. And you see, look at the third one. This, to me, gets nearer the truth. This is where you've got to be careful. This time, don't bind my hands, my head. See, that's where he strengthened me. He was now thinking, see, you can overreach yourself. Never do it. Not in the position where he was in. But that's what he did, you see. He got near to where it was. It's me head, it's me head. So tie it up. What happened? He still had his hair, so snap, went. And she says, you've mocked me. Now notice, notice. You see, getting closer, she warmed down till the truth was revealed in verse 17. You see, you can almost see it. You can shout it out. Get out now while you can. You know, it's something you would give as advice to somebody in a difficult situation. Get out now, you've still got your hair. Get out now while you can. But he was playing about with the things of God. You can't do it. And so consequently, when he opened his heart up, because you wore him down, see, it says vexed, but it says grieved. We'll read it. That's how she knew. That's how she knew he'd opened up his heart. He finally gave in. His passion gripped him. And he was grieved in spirit. And that was the whole thing. He finally gave in. And of course, you see, the longer it goes on, the harder it becomes. So if you deal with it straight away, it doesn't become an issue. So we're back to the start. That's where we need to be. But you see, if you play with fire, you surely will get burned. My son Stephen, when he was a lot younger, had a fixation with matches. And he would light the match, and I'll keep telling him, look, it'll cause a fire, you'll get hurt. It's dangerous. But he wasn't getting the message till I took him to the fire station and I said, this is it. And the fireman explained to him, right, exactly what must be coming. Far better than me. And I was just his dad. Whether he took any notice or not, it was a different matter. But here was someone that had the expertise. See, what I'm really saying is this, keeping the word of God. Go to the word of God. That's the authority. That's your strength. That's everything you've got. Go to him. If you're having a difficulty, if it's a real struggle, if you can't cope, if whatever, and even others fail you, but you can always share things with close friends in fellowship, go to him. Go to the word of God. See what he's telling you. But don't play with fire, because you'll get burned. And so will Samson. What a sad state that he was in. You know, it's one of the saddest statements in the whole of the word of God, is it not? That when he woke up, I will, he said, as before, I'll break through. But he hadn't seen the locks of hair on his head. And he'd lost his strength. And he'd lost everything else. What a sad situation of a strong man in God being blinded. Grinding corn and the enemy and mocked, being mocked. Sad testimony, you see, ruined. Ruined testimony. It's an awful thing. But it's true, that's what happened. But I'll tell you see, simple presumption and disobedience will result and find and have disastrous consequences. But you know, it's never too late to get up a slippery slope. So wherever you are, or whatever situation you're in, or whatever temptations arisen, or whatever way you want to go, there's always a way out. Why? Well, you see, his hair began to grow. That's the thing. It began to grow again. That's where his strength in God was began to grow. So he called out, you know, avenge me, he said. my enemies. God was true to his promise. God was true. And of course, many more died in his death when he threw the house down. You know, he literally brought the house down, you know, and everything else, and lost his life. The enemy went with him. Because God honoured his word. See, God always honoured his word. He cannot deny himself. It's his promise. If we honour him, he'll always honour us. Put him first. Put the word of God above all else. So we cannot play around with the things of God. So stay safe then in God's word. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, Paul's message to Timothy. He said, flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness. Yes, Timothy was young. Young in the faith, young in experience. But you see, the principle does apply. The passions has no age. It gets worse, possibly, as you get older. Because your understanding becomes greater. So that's less excuse. There's no excuse if you know anything of God and his word to step out of his word. Stay in it. Just keep in with the word of God. Nothing else. Flee it when it comes into your mind. Is not part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit self-control? God has given us that self-control. Not easy, but not impossible when we trust God. So many today then, in conclusion, are doing their own thing sadly. They have a form of godliness, yet denying the power thereof. There'll be requirement, for if judgment begins in God's house, where will the ungodly stand? Self-examination, even greater. Where will we stand?